You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. And your San Antonio Spurs will continue their mini road trip as they face the Chicago Bulls later tonight. And the Spurs will be looking to right the ship on the road, especially coming off a heartbreaking loss to the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. We'll talk about that. We're also going to be discussing Popovich, Kawhi Leonard. Pop has some remarks about Kawhi Leonard and his leadership, if you will, during his time in San Antonio. And then we'll talk about LaMarcus Aldridge, and particularly why Spurs fans are kind of upset with him right now. And, of course, we'll end the show talking about tonight's matchup between the Bulls and Spurs. And that guy you just heard coughing right now, that's Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, welcome back to Lockdown Spurs. Do you need a moment, Joe? Do you need to clear your throat?
No, man. They wouldn't even have heard the cough if you hadn't mentioned it, because I would have taken it out.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? It just adds to a little liveliness to the show. But maybe you're coughing, Joe, because you kind of coughed during the point where I brought up about Claw and Popovich. Briefly, before the Spurs played the Bucks, Pop was asked about Patty Mills' leadership. And he just dove right into talking about former Spur Kawhi Leonard, saying that he is a great talent, but he was never a good leader. Obviously, that sent shockwaves through Spurs fandom. Spurs fans were saying, finally, he said something, finally this and finally that. But, Joe, if you really think about it, it's nothing new. We know that Kawhi was never that vocal leader during his time in San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically all it wasn't Pop throwing shade, you know. He was just speaking the truth.
That's what everybody thought, that he was doing that.
Yeah, he's not throwing shade. He was just speaking the truth, something that everybody here already knew. A reporter asked him a question, and he answered it. That's basically what it was. It wasn't meant as anything else, but we know how, you know, things get misconstrued, and of course it's going to make for a great headline, so I'm sure we'll see it everywhere. Especially, you know, come Monday, we'll see it all over the national media, so it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously the last season of Kawhi's tenure in San Antonio didn't go that well. There was a reported rift between the team, Popovich, Kawhi's camp, Uncle Dennis, basically centered around his rehab of the quad injury. He only played 9 games, was distant from the team. Then they had, I mean, everybody knows what happened, you know, the Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili-led team meeting with him. It was just a big mess. Ultimately, it ended with him getting traded to the Raptors. But, Joe, you know, is there a little bit of truth to that in the sense of Kawhi Leonard was thought to be the one to take the mantle from Tim Duncan once Tim Duncan retired? And he never lived up to that. I mean, I get it. There's probably some segment of listeners right now saying, like, why are we even talking about him? He's not a San Antonio Spur. And I get that. But this is Popovich finally starting to say something about what happened and his thoughts on the former player. Joe, should Spurs fans have been upset that he was never that vocal leader?
No, I think they kind of already knew in their heart, you know. The guy never really talked. He was, you know, maybe said one or two words and that was it. He wasn't vocal on the court or on the bench. So why would you expect him to be a leader? You know, he was more of a worker bee. You know, he was just going to go out there and do his job very well. And that's all he cared about. He just cared about balling. He even said that several times. So it shouldn't come as a shock, you know, to Spurs fans. I'm sure that everybody wanted to bestow the mantle on Kawhi while he was here with his tenure with the Spurs as, you know, this is going to be his team. I guess yeah. He wasn't, you know, it was never in the cards for him. Some people aren't leaders, you know. They just want to do their job very well, and others want to take the leadership role. Unfortunately, Kawhi wasn't that person, you know. He just wanted to go out there and ball. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, look what he's doing in Toronto right now. He's not being the rah-rah vocal leader. I mean, that's usually up to Kyle Lowry, but or the coach, Nick Nurse. You still see it in Toronto. He's not that. You know, in highlights, you don't see him screaming at refs or screaming at his teammates or rallying them. He is what he is. He's a damn good player. There's no doubt about that. Spurs lost themselves a mega star in the offseason. You know, I'm pretty sure they did try to mend fences, but it just didn't come to pass. But at the end of the day, no, I don't think he was throwing shade at him. I think it was simply just making a statement. It is what it is. He wasn't a vocal leader, and that's that. So, you know, I'm pretty sure one day, hopefully, Joe, down the road, years from now, it'll all come out, and this will probably resurface. And again, no one should be shocked. But at the end of the day, Joe, he is no longer a Spur. The current Spurs right now, you know, they brought in DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl. They got that protected 2019 pick. And Kawhi is doing his thing up in Canada. But before we leave this topic, Joe, one more thought, though. I want to get your thoughts on this. Why do you think Spurs fans react this way when it comes to Kawhi Leonard? I know there's some that say, oh, he's no longer a Spur, forget about him. But when stuff like this comes out, they jump on it. And, oh, my God, look at Pop. He's throwing shade. And you see, Kawhi was never X, Y, and Z. Why do some fans still cling onto what could have been in San Antonio with Kawhi Leonard?
Well, that's the majority of the fan base here. They're just, you know, they just feel a certain way about Kawhi. They feel like he abandoned the city and he abandoned the fans. So anytime somebody says something and it's geared towards him, it's going to get a reaction to it. Like, you know, they feel like Pop is talking for the people. Oh, he's throwing a jab at Kawhi. Because in reality, he left a bad taste here in the mouth of Spurs Nation. So when somebody says something, it feels like they're being vindicated, you know. But it's like, it's just something that happened. We got to just move on from it. And, you know, don't look too much into it. You know, it's just a comment. Somebody asked him, he replied, you know, and that's all it was.
Yeah, and that's all it was. And again, it's not shocking news. You know, Kawhi was a quiet guy. Yeah, that's it. Think about this too. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge, he's a quiet guy, you know, but Popovich still says that he's a vocal leader. He's still a leader. Tim Duncan, he did show more leadership qualities on the court. One of my favorite memories of him is when Parker was arguing with refs and he comes and grabs him by the jersey and pulls him away. That's a leadership move. But LaMarcus is not like that.
It's just
Kawhi wasn't like that. You know, Manu Ginobili maybe was a little bit more vocal. But, you know, the Spurs never really had that in-your-face guy that tried to take charge of the team. They never had a Garnett-type player that's just going to scream and yell and cuss out his own teammates. And that's just not the Spurs way, Joe.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, we have leaders on this team, or we have, you know, people who kind of, you know, take the reins and kind of, you know, give examples to the younger, you know, players that we have on the team. But we don't really have that iconic leader. You know, that's just the way it is with the Spurs right now.
That's Pop's job.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you have people on the court from time to time that will say things or, you know, try to help players or yank them, you know, if they're getting into it with somebody else or with an official. You know, it's kind of like, you know, let's just play basketball. You know, but it is what it is on that end. I mean, somebody will eventually pick up where Timmy left off, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to happen anytime soon. All right, so with that behind us, let's go ahead and talk about LaMarcus Aldridge. But before we do that, you know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, when you're betting on, it's just as important who you're betting with. That's why I tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, you're going to want to do this. This is your best bet this season. Okay, so basically, my bookie has been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. Now, I'm urging you to make this your move. Go to MyBookie. You win, they pay. Simple as that. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. You're going to win. That's basically what it comes down to. you're going to win if you just simply go to MyBookie. So what I want you to do now is join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDONSPURS to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDONSPURS when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Simple as that. And once again, MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. So there's no losing. Just simply go to MyBookie. But speaking of losing, Joe, the Spurs are coming off a crushing loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, look, let's face it, Joe, heading into that game, the Spurs were likely not given good odds to get the W facing one of the league or the East best team. But they were there tooth and nail fighting blow for blow, you know, absorbing that opening run in the first quarter, coming back, taking an 11-point lead at one point. But then it all crumbled in the fourth as the Bucks outscored San Antonio 40-27 in the fourth. The defense collapsed, Joe. The team defense collapsed, but after the loss, a lot of the finger pointing was looking at LaMarcus Aldridge. After the game, Joe, he was asked about the Bucks double teaming him all game. And basically what he said in a nutshell, and I'm paraphrasing here, was, hey, you know, it bothered him. It threw him off rhythm. He needs his touches, that it was a factor. But at the same time, he's willing to make the team win and accept those double teams as games go by. But Spurs fans jumped on that, and all they focused on was him saying, my touches, I need more rhythm. Joe, you've been very vocal about LaMarcus Aldridge this season. I'm defending him still, but I want you to have first crack at this. Is it right for Spurs fans to jump on LaMarcus right now?
I don't think it is. I think what's happening is that Spurs fans are upset and they're frustrated because the team isn't winning the way that they're expected to win. But this is a new team with many new faces, you know, and it's going to take a while, as Coach Pop keeps preaching, for this team to get used to the system. But in all honesty, you know, LaMarcus needs to do a little bit more as far as being a little bit more consistent on the offensive end. I think that's what really frustrates fans is, you know, if LaMarcus isn't scoring, let's say, 18, 20 points a night, and it's just DeMar DeRozan out there doing the majority of the scoring. I mean, DeMar can't do it on his own. He needs help, you know. And the thing is that we need other people on the team to score points. You know, we have Rudy Gay that puts up some points. Mm-hmm. Bryn Forbes has been one of the most consistent players for the Spurs. But for some reason, you know, everybody always focuses on LaMarcus. And, you know, to his own right, LaMarcus does, you know, when he's not scoring, he tries to do his best on the defensive end. Tries to go after rebounds. LaMarcus, I think at this juncture, he is who he is, Spurs fans, and regardless of how we feel, or we might call him out and say, the guy's soft. And what we mean by that is it's the mentality. Things that you see, the comments that you hear. You know, I need my touches to get in rhythm. You know, we don't really hear things like that from Spurs players. You know, Spurs players just go out there and produce on the court. LaMarcus is a little different, you know, and not everybody can think and be the same stereotypical, you know, Spurs player in that sense. So I think Spurs fans just are going to have to accept LaMarcus for who he is. Whether you like him, whether you hate him, he's going to be a member of the team. So it is what it is, man. That's about all I can say about him.
Well, you know, one thing, again, you said it right now, you know, fans focused on that one little remark he made about getting his touches. I think that was misconstrued, and here's my part. I'm defending him now. I think he's just referring to the double teams. I don't think he's saying I need more touches because X player and Y player are getting more touches than me. I don't think that was the case. In this situation, he's just saying, hey, I got to get more touches, and when I get the touches, I can't get in rhythm because I was getting double team in the Bucks game. Now, look, has LaMarcus not had the great start as we expected? Perhaps, and yeah, the numbers do show it. His mid-range game is off. His high-scoring output double-doubles are not as frequent as we saw last season. Look, he's coming off a game versus the Pacers where he put up solid numbers. But in that game, let's face it, you know, the Pacers did not have Miles Turner, and they started Sabonis, who's undersized. And yeah, LaMarcus is going to feast. You fast forward to the Bucks, you know, he has to contend with a guy like Antetokounmpo. He has to contend with a guy like, you know, Henson, and so on and so forth. Look, the Bucks, they did their job. You know, kudos to them, you know, slowing down one of the main offensive factors for San Antonio, that being LaMarcus Aldridge. They did what they had to do, get him off rhythm. They did what they had to do, limit his touches because he's getting double teamed. That makes sense. I get why Spurs fans are upset. He's coming off a hot season, expected to be a 1-2 punch, a consistent 1-2 punch with him and DeRozan. But there's no Pau Gasol, Joe. And you're asking LaMarcus to play the 5 spot, which is not his spot. When he was playing the 4 spot when Pau was on the court, he did pretty good. LaMarcus Aldridge played well. The numbers show it. But he's asked to do more. And you mentioned it, Joe. He's playing defense. He's getting double-digit rebounding. He's clogging the lane. And he's doing what he can do. I think it's just too soon, too premature for Spurs fans to just jump on him and make him the scapegoat, because he's not. That fourth quarter collapse wasn't just because of LaMarcus Aldridge versus the Bucks. That was simply because the Spurs team defense collapsed. It was the team defense that just fizzled and was not there and couldn't maintain that lead and get the W. Joe, I got to ask you this. Do you think when Pau gets back, if and when he gets back, who knows what's going on with his injury, but if he does get back and then he goes to the 5 spot or LMA goes to the 4 spot, do you think that'll be the difference?
I really don't think so, man. I think what we're seeing here is something that we've seen signs of for the last couple seasons. And if you look to see what's happening on the stat sheet, you can see that this starting 5 really isn't that great. You know, yesterday, specifically, they were all in the minus. I mean, the highest that I saw right now as far as like minus 32, you had DeMar DeRozan who put up 34 points and he was minus 32 on the night. And that's not a good stat, you know, and those are numbers that tell you one thing. This starting 5 really isn't that good. But you have to think, you have these players out there that are, you know, they can get it done on certain nights, and other nights they're just, you know, it's inconsistent. You know, it's like, they're lacking consistency. And you got to ask yourself one thing. Does this have a lot to do with the type of players that we have in this system? Or is it the Spurs system that's getting old in today's NBA? You know, I had used an analogy of Coach Pop is his race car driver driving this nice car, you know, race car. And this race car has won him, you know, some races. You know, he's won 5 big races driving this race car. But everybody else is driving race cars as well. And what's happened is they tweak their race cars. They're adding new parts to these race cars to make them faster. And the Spurs still driving that same race car that won them 5 races 20 years ago. You know, I think it needs to evolve. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with Coach Pop. I just think that the Spurs system and today's NBA, it's just not working. It needs some tweaks. I'm not saying that it's, you know, oh, we need a do something dramatic. No, I think the system needs some tweaks for the more modern NBA. And what we're seeing right now is that the Spurs system is looking a little old, Jeff.
Huh. Well, look, for them to be 9-10, you know, that's below 500. I get that. But having to do that without DeJounte Murray, a brand new crew, Pau Gasol being injured, LaMarcus Aldridge not having this typical season we expect him to have, I think that's okay. I'm not saying it's great. You know, I'm not happy with it, but it's a lot. It could have been a lot worse. So I think the system is still working to a certain extent. Do the Spurs need to get younger? Yes. In my opinion, do they need to stop chasing these veterans, i.e. Marco Bellinelli in the offseason, Dante Cunningham? Maybe. But I get why they did it, because the Spurs saw a bunch of NBA veteran leadership leave when Parker and Ginobili left the team for different reasons. Joe, what I'm asking you is this, though. I get it what you mean by, you know, they're driving the same race car, this and that. I mean, has it ever crossed your mind that maybe, just maybe, it's time for Pop to start thinking about taking a step back?
I have actually talked about that on my podcast, and we got raked over coals for that. But what Spurs fans are starting to see more and more often is it's just getting old. You know, this system just isn't working in today's NBA. And it's not a knock against, you know, Coach Pop. Coach Pop is one of the greatest coaches, you know, in NBA history. He's going to be up there, and he's going to probably be in the Hall of Fame once he retires, you know. But, you know, when the end starts to come and you start nearing the end of your career, you know, we've seen this happen with other coaches. It doesn't really end on the best of terms. You know, it ends ugly. It gets ugly real quick. You know, so what I'm saying right now is, you know, Coach Pop, realistically, he's going to retire in what, maybe a year, maybe 2 years from now? But the end is near. It's here. It's the sun is already setting, you know? So I think it is time for him to maybe start considering, you know what? It's time for me to go ahead and retire and let somebody else lead this team. You know, I think the Spurs, if you look at the roster, they're really not that bad compared to other teams.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, they might be a little undersized, but they got a good mixture of, you know, younger players that are rookies. You know, you have a good mixture of veterans. So, you know, the law of averages tells you that this should work to some degree, not, you know, what we're seeing right now. But I think that's vindicative of what's going on with this system. The Spurs haven't changed. It's like they're stuck in a time capsule. They still run the same schemes. They're still preaching defense, and everybody else is out there and they're running. They're just, the focus is on the offensive end. Just score more buckets than the other team and you're going to win. You know, when you score 129 points, you should win this game. You should not lose games like this. But in today's NBA, you need to have a different scheme. Something needs to be tweaked. That's all I'm saying. And it might be time for the captain to say, you know what, I'm going to hang it up, you know?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know, there's so many things that are going wrong for the Spurs right now. You know, whether they be their road woes, inconsistency from players, injuries. You know, just so much are just hitting the Spurs so soon. You knew it was not going to be a good start to the season when Murray goes out, and then days later, literally, White goes out, and then days later, Walker goes out. So it's just didn't start off on the right foot. But we're long overdue for our first break. But when we get back, Joe and I are going to talk about tonight's contest, Spurs at Bulls. Okay, we are back, and I'm joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast, who's fired up today on the silver and black. Joe, the Spurs will have a chance to, you know, prove they can win on the road as they face the Chicago Bulls in Chicago. The Spurs are well below 500 on the road this season, only picking up 3 games, I believe. They're 1-6 now, I believe. 1-6, 1-5, something like that. Basically, it's not good. A road record in November. But they're playing a Chicago team, Joe, that's 5-15 on the season. What's your first key to a Spurs win tonight?
Just be consistent. You know, that's the biggest faux pas with the Spurs, you know, consistency or lack thereof. I think if the Spurs can be very consistent on both ends of the court, not just on the offensive end, but on the defensive end as well, they give themselves a really good chance of winning this game, especially a game on the road where they've notoriously been bad. So if we can see the Spurs play a more consistent game, I think they can win this, you know. But again, Jeff, it's been the inconsistencies that we all focus on, specifically on the defensive end. So I don't know, man. It's a head scratcher. Hopefully they can figure this out this time, you know.
Yeah, consistency needs to happen. But you know, you don't want to give anybody a pass, so to speak. You know, do you give the Spurs a pass in the loss to the Bucks that it was the second game of a back-to-back? I don't know. We know every team has to go through that. But look, this face of this Spurs team has been having a heck of a start to the season in the sense of scheduling. You know, they're in San Antonio, they're not in San Antonio. They go on the road, they do 5 games and 6 games in 6 days or 6 games in 7 days. It's just been a mess. And yeah, that's going to wear on you. Yeah, that's going to wear on the players. That's going to wear on their sleep patterns, you know, travel time, you know, this time zone, back home, back away. you know, they got to play the Bulls tonight, and then they got to go play the Minnesota, and then they go back to San Antonio for a couple, then they go back on the road. You know, so it's just all over the place. And I'm hoping that the Spurs eventually will see that even out, and it will even out schedule-wise. And that doesn't even include the Rodeo road trip. It's still looming. So if the Spurs need to get something going, it has to go tonight, because Chicago is not one of the best teams in the league. Only 5 wins on the season, but at the same time, I thought the Spurs were going to beat the Magic, and look what happened earlier this season. Now, look, for me, my key is simply this. Don't take the Bulls for granted, despite the fact that they're 5-15, and what I mean by that is don't take them lightly, I should say. Yeah, they may be 5-15 on the season, but this month alone, Joe, they're 3-0 in Chicago. And they've been putting up in those 3 wins this month at home, 113 points per game and 50% shooting. So obviously my first thing is go in the right mindset. Do not sleep on this Bulls team and try to slow down their attack. They're putting up numbers. They're shooting at a hot pace right now, 50% from the field in Chicago. Joe, dare I say, they got to play defense, Joe, tonight.
Yeah, they do. And here's the kicker, man. This is one of the stats that you look at and you compare San Antonio to the Chicago Bulls. You would think, okay, the Spurs are going to have like their defensive ratings a lot better than the Chicago Bulls. Got to pump the brakes a little bit. Defensive rating right now for the San Antonio Spurs, they've taken a nosedive. They're 21st out of 30 teams in the NBA. Chicago Bulls, their defensive rating is 20 out of 30 teams. The Chicago Bulls right now are playing better defense than the San Antonio Spurs. Now, wow. Their offensive rating, the Chicago Bulls are 29 out of 30 teams. The Spurs are 11 out of 30 teams, which means the Spurs have a better offense. But the thing is, you got to play to your strong suits. And right now, the Chicago Bulls are just a hair better than the Spurs on the defensive end. The one thing that scares me, Jeff, going into this game is some of the, you know, the length of some of the guards from the Chicago Bulls. They're a little bit taller. You know, they might be 2 inches taller than some of the Spurs guards. And I, once again, when you come and look at this guard play and you look at what's happened historically, when you have taller guards that are more athletic and a little bit longer than the Spurs guards, that's where the game is won or lost. And I think the Spurs are going to have a tough time with the Chicago Bulls team, specifically with the guard play. I hate to say it, Jeff, but if I look at this game right now, I'm going to have to say, Spurs fans, prepare yourself, because I believe the Chicago Bulls are going to wind up upsetting the San Antonio Spurs on the road.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll get into our predictions later, but I see what you're saying in the sense of, you know, the Bulls are a younger team. Jabari Parker, you know, he's coming off a 20-plus point outing versus the Wolves and a loss, but it goes with him. You know, this team may not have star power, but they got a bunch of young guys that can run up and down the court. You mentioned pace. You mentioned defensive rating, Joe. Things are not shaping up for the Spurs. Add the fact that they're playing on the road, where San Antonio struggles this season, it could be a bad mix. One other thing for me, another key is this, and I feel like I'm broken record right now, but let's get LaMarcus Aldridge going early. I want to see him get touches. And I'm not saying this because of what he said after the loss to Milwaukee. What I'm saying is simply this. You know, get him going. This is a Bulls team that really doesn't have that much of an interior defender. You know, they don't have a premier guy like Antetokounmpo that LMA had to face in the last outing. A Whiteside, a Marcus All, you know, let him get going. That'll build confidence, and hopefully that'll help the Spurs and DeMar DeRozan with the scoring load and get him going. Just build some confidence going. I'm not saying he lacks confidence. I'm not saying that, but just to get his rhythm going. His shot is off a little bit from mid-range. Why not let him feast versus the Bulls team that really doesn't have that much presence in the paint? All right, so Joe and I, we're going to take our second break. When we get back, we're going to continue previewing tonight's contest and give our prediction. Okay, we are back, and I am joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Two Shots Podcast. Joe, you already gave us your prediction, so you're predicting a loss. We took a break right now. Do you want to change that, or are you still sticking with that?
No, I'm predicting that the Spurs are going to lose. The only way that they'll have a chance to win this game is, as you stated, the Spurs are bigger in the middle, and the Chicago Bulls really don't have an interior defender that can match up. If I was Pop, this is a game of all about matchups. The guards aren't really a good matchup for our San Antonio Spurs guards. But where we do have the advantage, as you stated, is in the interior. I think Pop should go big, and he should have Yaka Poeltl start alongside LaMarcus Aldridge, kind of have Yaka Poeltl maybe play more of the center position and have LaMarcus come over and play that four spot. You know, let him be a power forward or forward, and let him get his touches early, get him in rhythm, and let him punish, you know, the Chicago Bulls and their interior defense or lack thereof. I think if they can do that early, the Spurs give themselves a chance to win. But if he starts the same starting roster again, you know, just expect more of the same, Spurs fans. I mean, if there's not going to be a change made to the lineup, then you know what's going to happen, and it's not going to be pretty.
Well, look, you know, the Bulls, they start Wendell Carter Jr. You know, he's averaging about 11 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, and about 1.7 blocks per game. So, you know, he's not a pushover, but at the same time, you know, he's not that type of echelon player that maybe LaMarcus could struggle against. I think I think it's just simply LaMarcus should be able to handle Wendell Carter Jr. You know, when you look at this Bulls team, you know, Justin Holiday, you know, he's, you know, having a good season, 12.7 points per game. You mentioned Jabari Parker, he's averaging close to 16 points per game. Zach LaVine, you know, I think the Spurs will have some issues defending him. He's averaging 25 points per game, 5.1 rebounds per game, 4.4 assists, and about a steal. And, you know, he's only one. Here's the thing, too. You know, in the defensive end, when I'm trying to lead to this, he's only one of six players in the league to average at least 25 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 4 assists. So he's a handful. And he's long. He's 6'5". You know, so the Spurs are going to have to contend with that. They're young. They got a former Spur on there, Ryan Arcidiacono. You remember him. And he's been playing pretty good for the Bulls. But I'm going to predict the Spurs get the W. The Spurs have won 3 straight over Chicago heading into tonight's contest. They're coming off a tough loss, but I think they can rally behind this. They got a day break, you know, so they got some time to rest and heal up. And the Bulls simply, I think, won't be able to match the Spurs bench. I think the Spurs have a better bench than Chicago. So at the end of the day, I'm predicting you know, Spurs get the W, a lot of bench help from San Antonio. I'm expecting LaMarcus to have himself a good game, and the Spurs just deal with Zach LaVine, and everybody step up. Bryn Forbes should be able to do well. I mean, look, Brian Arcidiacono doesn't scream defender, so DeMar DeRozan will be a handful for the Bulls. So I don't know. I think the Spurs just simply have a little bit more horses in the race than the Bulls do. So at the end of the day, I'm predicting the Spurs get a rare victory on the road. Joe, we touch on a lot of topics today, but why don't you go ahead and tell everybody how they can talk to you regarding your thoughts about tonight's game, LMA, or Pop and Kawhi.
Yeah, they can find us at Two Shots Podcast, all spelled out, TWOSHOTS Podcast, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check us out on the internet at twoshotssa.com.
Go check out Two Shots Podcast on the internet. Joe, so you mentioned earlier that you mentioned about Papa maybe taking a step back, and you said you got piled on. Was it that bad?
Well, yeah, I mean, me and my buddy had said this a while back, and Spurs fans were getting upset. But now that they're starting to see the season unfold a little bit, they're starting to come around, you know? So if you all want to talk about that, or you disagree with us, let us know. Hit us up. Let's have a discussion.
There you go. Go follow Two Shots Podcast on Twitter. So for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.